Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning, a big Saturday morning, as was evidenced by the big handicappers report we just finished up. Ran a little bit long, but we were going over 22 races between Keeneland and Aqueduct with lots of stakes action. As I said, we didn't even delve into Santa Anita and the Santa Anita Derby card, but it is a really, really nice day of racing. Hopefully you're looking forward to it as much as I am. Do want to alert you to promos here at Capital OTB today. There's an online knockout challenge. You can check out the website for more information there. CapitalOTB.com for the online knockout challenge this afternoon. And you can come on down here to the Clubhouse Racebook, watch all the horse racing action here on the big screens, maybe catch a little lunch, enjoy the afternoon here, and a double promotion here today, a Naira Pick 4 promotion and a match bet here at the Clubhouse Racebook. We are located, if you haven't been, at 711 Central Avenue in Albany. If you haven't been, why not? It's a great place to watch all the racing action, plenty of TVs and the carrels. And of course, currently we are socially distanced and whatnot, but that's certainly worked out well, going back to when we reopened. You know, you wear your mask when you're up and about and whatnot, and as I say, socially distanced in the carrel area. I think it's every third carrel or whatnot, so it has worked out well, and you can come here and, as I say, enjoy a great afternoon of racing if you choose us as your location, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, again, we ran a little long with the handicappers report, but it's going to work out well. The two interviews we have coming, we taped yesterday, and they're going to fit right into our remaining time. A little bit later on, Brendan Walsh will join us. He has prevalence in today's Wood Memorial. He talks about that one, and I said on the handicappers report, we talked about it. The maiden breaker looked fabulous. The comeback, maybe people were not as impressed. Brendan kind of addresses that a little bit. He's also got a couple runners in stakes races at Keeneland this afternoon. We talked about both of those. And then we went back to last week, and he had Extravagant Kid win over in Dubai, and he had a fun story about where he watched the race, the Dubai race. So check out that as well coming up a little bit later on. And we also got a little update on Maxfield with Brendan Walsh. So that's coming up a little bit, but we'll kick things off. We reached out to our friend Anthony Stabile, the New York Racing Association. You see him on the pregame show, and went over the stakes action on today's card with the Big A, Anthony Stabile. That is up next. Stabile from Aqueduct. You see him every day doing the Naira pregame show, and I thought, who better to reach out and get a little Wood Memorial Day stakes coverage from than Mr. Stabile. Good morning.
Happy Wood Memorial Day, Seth.
Absolutely. And from watching the pregame show during the winter and your conversation with your co-hosts and whatnot, I know you are a Aqueduct stalwart, and I will ask you if you have any particular fond memories of the Wood Memorial, which is kind of the exclamation point, certainly on the spring season down at Aqueduct. And I'll date myself. I was kind of looking up some stats and whatnot last night, and I go back, and one of the more memorable Wood Memorials for me, I guess, was as I got into the game, it was Seattle Slough, who won, kept his undefeated streak going 2 weeks before the Kentucky Derby. That was the old schedule, and about a month before, he'd won the Flamingo down at Hialeah, of all places. But as I say, any fond memories of Wood Memorial's past?
Well, that Seattle Slough victory, I would have been about 2.5 or 3 weeks old, so I don't remember that one. Easy Goer, my favorite horse of all time back in 1989, Easy Goer. Devil Is Due was a good one. I was around Lioncrest Stable and Alan Jerkins. That was fun when Devil Is Due got the money. More recently, I made an awful lot of money when Wicked Strong got the job done in 2014. That was the start of a pretty good year on radio, my first full year at HRRN. Was basically just doing radio and gambling at the time, doing some stuff over at Vegas Insider, still over at Vegas Insider. Made a ton of money that day, was hanging out with the West Point crew. And I don't remember the other horses that won. I think Close Hatches was the year before. I can't remember who won the Gazelle that year. Close Access was in 2013. I don't remember who won the Gazelle in 2014, but we ran off. The first three were cold. I loved Wicked Strong, and then had no opinion in the Carter and hit the all ball a bunch of times. And Dad's Caps won his first of two, and it paid like $1,080 for 50 cents. And I had multiple tickets, so that was a good one, financially speaking. Wicked Strong. And this one's going to be a great one. We missed it last year because of the COVID, so always good to see the highlight of the Aqueduct spring meet come back. And personally, it's Johnny Ike's first Wood Memorial. He's going to be calling the Wood Memorial for the first time in a 40-year career at Nyra, and is a bit of a mentor to me in the booth. And in life, really, the last couple of years, I'm really looking forward to it later on today to hear Johnny call his first Wood Memorial.
Yeah, I read about that on the Nyra website, and I linked over on Equidaily as well if people want to pull that up, talking about John Embriel getting his first call of the Wood Memorial. Hard to believe, but congratulations to him. Looking forward to that as well on just the personal side. But let's jump into it. Let's take a look at the Wood Memorial. As you say, coming back after a layoff of a year because of the COVID situation. The 10th race at Aqueduct on Saturday afternoon, grade two event, $750,000, mile and an eighth. This is really a fun addition. I pulled up a replay of the Withers to take a look at risk-taking. Risk-taking will be the number five horse here, getting it done for Chad Brown and Klarovich. They also have Crowded Trade in the Wood Memorial on Saturday afternoon. Weyburn, that was such a gutsy performance in the Gotham. I always like to root for Jimmy Jerkins. I'm really intrigued to see what Weyburn can do following up the Gotham win, which he just fell into that race. An allowance race didn't fill. He falls into the Gotham and wins it. I think Candyman Rocket, that Tampa Bay Derby, was too bad to believe. I think Candyman Rocket will rebound, whether it'll be a winning performance or not, but it'll be better than the Tampa Bay Derby. Then you throw in Brooklyn Strong, hasn't been seen since the two-year-old season. And Prevalence, who has a lot of promise for Brendan Walsh. Going to be interested to see what that one can do. Man, this is a fun addition. What are your thoughts on the Wood Memorial?
I'll tell you what. I don't want to be a homer here, but obviously three preps today with the Bluegrass and Keeneland and the Santa Anita Derby at the Great Race Place. In fact, from like 5:15 to 7:15, there's going to be 300-point Derby rate preps and 400-point Oaks preps. So for 2 hours today, the head's going to be on a complete swivel. I don't think there's a funner race and a deeper race than our Wood Memorial here at the Big A. I think you can make a case for five of them, the five horses you just mentioned. I'm curious to see what Prevalence brings to the table. That maiden win was spectacular. I wouldn't give you 3 cents for the win against the allowance optional claimers. I don't want this horse for a quarter in here today off of that last race. It's just 23 days ago. He's got to ship. He's got to go to a new surface. And he's got to stretch out to the two turns. Off that last race, I feel like that last race, when he could have run him 5 days earlier in the Gotham at Aqueduct, he winds up here anyway. I don't buy that he needed five more days. If he needed 15 more days, I buy it. I didn't like the last race. He's the reason, I think, to play the race vertically today. I'm a big risk-taking guy. I'm glad you showed the Withers and not the Gotham. I took a filthy beat with Crowded Trade in the Gotham. But the Withers, risk-taking, the Blinkers have helped. I'm a big believer that this horse has a huge, huge engine under the hood. I think he's going to run all day long. I think he showed that in his last two, just running away from these fields, going the 9 furlongs. The Blinkers have kind of helped him, you know, hone some of his, I don't want to say his speed, but they've put him in a place where, you know, even in the soft pace, moderate pace, he's put himself closer to the action. And I think it's a really good setup for him in here today. With that said, Crowded Trade reminds me a lot of Cloud Computing. Lightly raced, winter here in New York, and then, of course, Cloud Computing in 2017 went on to win the Preakness. Crowded Trade could be any kind. That was a big effort last time against Weyburn, who was a little bit more experienced. Listen, Weyburn has a pedigree that suggests he's going to want to go long. Jimmy Jerkins, as is his wont, non-committal after the Gotham. He winds up here. Like you said, he wasn't even supposed to be in the Gotham. He was trying to get an A of an N to go. The race didn't go. He ran him in the Gotham because he was training so well. and he winds up getting the job done over a crowded trade. And then Brooklyn Strong comes back from a huge win in the Remsen. Now, he's carrying a lot of weight from the Remsen because the Remsen has been maligned greatly in the last couple of decades as to the success on the Derby trail and in the Derby. But this horse ran huge in the Remsen. Was it the wet track? Was it the stretch out to the 9 furlongs? We haven't seen him now. He hit a couple of bumps in the road this winter. But top to bottom, this is one of the deepest Wood Memorials I can remember in a long time. I'm a big risk-taking guy, Seth. I got 42-1 on him in pool 4 of the future wager. I'm a big fan of this horse. I love his two-turn races. And you know me, I'm as New York bred as Funnyside. I love the fact that this horse wintered at Belmont, and he's staying the path. I love the fact that the Robert Tees Jr. is getting back aboard. I like risk-taking.
Yeah, I'm tilting in that direction myself, but as I say, it is a very, very intriguing edition of the Wood Memorial. On their way to the Kentucky Derby in a race earlier, they're on their way to the Kentucky Oaks in the Gazelle. Grade 3 event, a field of 8 scheduled, and I'm kind of looking for a Clarovich day, and I pulled up the Buescher Invitational from March 6th. The winner will be number 3, Search Results. It was only her second career start, second win for Chad and Clarovich. I think there's some upside potential here. I put her on top, but Mia Martina from Grand Motion, maybe a little bit interesting. Surface Switch is going to be the huge question mark there, obviously, but Always Late, I think, is a player coming off a couple of wins for Bill Mott. What are your thoughts on the Gazelle?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a Clarovich day as well. I picked the Clarovich horses 1-2 in the Wood Memorial. Search Engine, Search Results, rather. I keep calling us Search Engine. Search Results. Maybe they're from your Search Engine. I have no idea. I'll tell you, she ran well in the Buescher off the layoff last time, off the 2 months. She stretched at a mile nicely. Nothing in her pedigree that doesn't suggest she's not going to take to the 9 furlongs. She gets her Robert Tees Jr. back in the boot. He was aboard for the debut. She's got enough speed to be on the lead in here. I mean, there's no speed. She's going to have to deal with a horse like Miss Brazil in here today. She's supposed to be in front. And I would imagine a ride, even if he doesn't put her on the lead, maybe sit off his brother with Hybrid Eclipse, who's drawn along the inside. I would imagine she's going to be forward in here again. And I think that takes some of the others out of this race a little bit. Maybe Maracuja is forward coming out of the sprint races, but it kind of hurts some of the horses in here. It looks like I'm a homer with my man Louis Lazanow and the grass is blue, but I like this filly's race in the Busanda. She had no chance the way the track was playing and the way the race set up in the Buescher last time. Again, she's not going to get a lot of pace, but she gets the extra furlong. She gets back around the two turns. Her two races around two turns, the race at Laurel and the Busanda, I think they're good. I know she's got to get a little faster, but I think the distance is the equalizer for her. I think she's going to run a big race in here today. I wouldn't be surprised if she's 1-2. I picked the race 8-5 with Search Results over the grass is blue. I'm going to use both of them in the pick 4 and the pick 5. I think it's those two. Maybe a little Hybrid Eclipse, who got around the two turns at Laurel last time. I'm not sure I love the fact that Trainer Linda Rice shipped her out of New York. But maybe she wanted to get her around two turns. That's the only thing I could think. Always Late's interesting. Mott puts this filly on the dirt for the first time. She's run all 5 times on the turf so far. Thing that bothered me about her was she's a half to analyze the odds, who was a dirt horse, and the only other fall out of the mare. Analyze the odds was a New York bred. The only other fall out of the mare, like I said. Her two races with Lasix are much better than anything else. And she doesn't get the Lasix in here. No Lasix in the stakes races. So that bothers me a little bit. We've already seen Search Results run without Lasix. We've seen the Grass is Blue run without Lasix. In fact, the Grass is Blue only ran on Lasix in her debut. She's been Lasix free since. So that's something I think we need to be more mindful of this year. These horses losing the Lasix, especially when you see races with and without Lasix on the card. And when that's the only difference, which is the case with Always Late, I think it comes into play.
Yeah, that's a great point. We brought it up during the handicapping shows for the past couple of months, and it's worth reiterating whenever, because it is something that's a little new this year. Throws another little piece of the handicapping puzzle out there that folks will have to pay attention to. All right, let's move one race earlier. Go with the Excelsior, 4-year-olds and up, $150,000 grade 3 event. a mile and an eighth. And I had to pull it up, the Jazzle, going back to January 23rd, the now 7-year-old New York bred Mr. Buff. I wasn't quite buying into him that day off the two races just prior. I wasn't sure as late in his 6-year-old season, early in his 7-year-old season, whether he was still going to be the same. But we're watching the stretch run here. He gets it done in the Jazzle at the mile and eighth distance over the aqueduct surface with a triple-digit buyer, followed that up with a nice win in the Stymie. I'm going to tilt in that direction, but what are your thoughts on the Excelsior?
Yeah, you know, he won the Jazzle last year as well by daylight. I'll tell you what, I had the privilege of calling the Stymie last time. That might have been his best race in a long time because he did something he hadn't done in a while. He went fast. You know, a lot of these races, when he's on or close to the lead, they're going a little slower. Last time, he went 45 and change. I thought he was going to get run down late, but he showed, he showed his grit, and he dug in and he held off Limonite. He's going to face Limonite again. Yeah, it looks like he's going to have the run of the race again. And the good thing with him at this point in his career is he shows, like he did in the Jazzle, he doesn't need to lead anymore. He used to be the horse, the kind of horse that needed to be in front. He doesn't need it anymore. We'll see what they do with Backside of the Moon. You know, Backside of the Moon's a weird horse. He's claimed back by Bob Placaris. That race in the Queens County when Jose Lascano put him on the lead and took it to the other speed, I feel like it kind of emptied his tank. Because he just hasn't been the same since that race. And now he leaves Rudy and he goes back to Bob Lazarus. We'll see. I'm curious to see how they ride him. You know, this race tested my fortitude a little bit, Seth. Because when I made my picks, I kept going back to Haikal. And I couldn't pull the trigger ultimately on Haikal. But he's one that is very, very interesting to me. His race in the Wood Memorial a couple of years ago was a good one. And then he kind of tailed off. He missed. He was supposed to run in the Derby. He missed some time. He missed 9 months. He came back and he ran well behind Lone Rock in a paceless race. And then his three races at Gulfstream have just been terrible. Maybe he just doesn't like Gulfstream. You know, deep closer, it's not too surprising he doesn't like Gulfstream Park. And he has a race for Kieran and two races for Todd Fletcher at Gulfstream. And they're just, frankly, they're just not very good. He gets back to the only other racetrack he's ever run over. He gets the 9 furlongs. He gets around Ortiz Jr. Like I said, Backside of the Moon, Mr. Buff. Should be some patient here at the very least. I couldn't pull the trigger, though. I'm going to use him in pick threes, pick fours, pick fives. I made Modernist my top pick. I thought his return in the Challenger was useful. It's a race Mott's used in the past to bring some horses back. He brought Drosselmeyer back in that race, and then he wound up winning the Breeders' Cup Classic later on 10 years ago, back in 2011, using that Challenger as a prep. He had no chance trying to chase a loose on the lead Last Judgment. He saved second. Now he stretches out to the mile and an eighth. He has a couple of good races over the track. I'm going to try a mild upset with Modernist, but I'm going to use Modernist. I'm going to use Mr. Buff, and I am going to use Haikal. I didn't have the guts to pull the trigger and put him on top, though.
Yeah, I had Modernist at the bottom of my mix, and I was in doing the handicapping show the day of the Challenger, and I said just what you said. I thought it was a pretty good comeback off a relatively long layoff. It was a lifetime best buyer, so he's interesting. I did not put Haikal in my mix, but as you were talking, I was kind of looking, and maybe you're right on that one, because if you do parse out the Gulfstream races, he has run very well at Aqueduct. I'll be interested to see what he does on Saturday afternoon. I did not use him, but now that you've talked about him a little bit in that light, he's going to be a little bit interesting. All right, let's go a little earlier on the card. The Carter, a five-horse field, but a nice five-horse field. I pulled up a replay here of Mischievous Alex at Gulfstream in the Gulfstream Park Sprint back on February 13th. I thought that one and Chateau were the two to go through, but Mind Control, another horse that really loves Aqueduct, Shoplifted for Steve Asmussen, has a little bit of back class, Super Stonehenge for Mark Cassie on a best effort, if some of them come back a little bit, I think. But to me, it goes between Mischievous Alex and Chateau, and off the race that we're looking at here, the Gulfstream Park Sprint, I just tilted for Mischievous Alex, but your thoughts on the Carter?
I went for the longest shot on the board. I like Super Stone Edge. I'll tell you what. This horse has run 4 times on conventional dirt in his career. He broke his maiden and got a 95 buyer in March of his 3-year-old year down at Gulfstream Park. He came back after that race, and he did not run well at all. He was even money against fellow statebreds again. Little early, April, ran against older horses that day. Listen, I don't have a lot of excuses. He was wide. He stunk. He was awful. He then had a steady diet of all-weather races up at Woodbine and won turf race for a year and a half. His dirt return two starts back in the Sunshine Sprint. He did not break well, and then about six or seven jumps on out of the gate, he got slammed a little, and then he clipped heels. He lost all position. He made a 3/8 of a mile move into contention and got tired late, and he ran against a horse like Extravagant Kid. He ran well enough. Then last time, he goes to Tampa. He gets caught chasing the ill-fated Zenden. Zenden came back to win the Golden Shaheen last week, in that ill-fated sprint over in Dubai. But he ran his eyeballs out last time into the pace. Now he gets speed in here in Chateau. He should be able to sit just off of Chateau, or at the very least have a target. I think the 7/8 is probably going to help him more. You look back to his race in the Kennedy Road, and I know it was on all weather. He got beat a length and a quarter to ride a Comet. He beat Pink Lloyd that day on the all weather. Pink Lloyd is a rock star up there at Woodbine. So this horse is coming into his own, I think. He's a 5-year-old gelding now. He's had some issues, but it looks to me like he's on the right path. He's going to get a good trip. He's going to be a giant price. And I'm not sold on the rest of these horses. Let's see what Mischievous Alex does against a little bit of better quality. I don't know if Chateau wants the 7. Mind Control, to me, looks like he's seen better days. And Shoplifter doesn't win. I know Super Stonehenge doesn't win much either, but he's going to be twice the price of all those horses. We'll take a shot with him.
I like it. All right, and finally, starting the stakes action on Saturday, it's race number 4, the Bayshore Grade 3 event for the 3-year-old sprinters. A couple $100,000 up for grabs. And, yeah, I had to pull it up. The Swale from January 30th. It's number 5, Drain the Clock, getting it done. He followed up with what I thought was a pretty good performance, trying two turns in the Fountain of Youth, but Greatest Honor ran him down in his last race. Again, the Swale we're looking at is 2 races back, but it was a 7-furlong sprint. He gets the 7 furlongs again on Saturday. I don't blame him for trying the Fountain of Youth. If you have a good 3-year-old, that's always the game plan this time of year. See what you have. Now they've said, well, we have a sprinter, and they're going back in the Bayshore back to sprinting. So I'll put that one on top. And, boy, it just looks like off of what we just saw there. If he travels well and likes New York, it seems like it's going to go through Drain the Clock. What are your thoughts?
Part of the reason Saffy Joseph wins as many races as he does is he doesn't get overly ambitious with horses. This horse ran well enough in the Fountain of Youth last time, but it certainly looked like at the 3/16th fall, he was home Jerome, and he got tired. He got run down by a nice horse in Greatest Honor, but this horse looks like he has some distance limitations. In fact, when he was eased in the Delta Downs race, I don't know if it was the iron broke, and he lost a lot, so you can't even hold that against him. This horse has never lost around one turn. And even in the Delta race, when he lost the rider, that was a 2-turn race. He's 4-for-4 around one turn. He's supposed to just be in front or sitting off the 5 Baron. The only horse I would give another look at is the 4 Whiskey Double. You can have the rest of them. I'm going to single Drain the Clock in the early pick 4 and early pick 5. Maybe have one backup pick 5 ticket, a thin ticket, using Whiskey Double in case Drain the Clock doesn't ship well. And doesn't like it up here, but I mean, it's hard to beat him. I think it's hard to beat him today.
Yeah, I agree. Anthony, before we let you go, you mentioned at the top the 3 big Derby preps this weekend. We hit on the Wood Memorial. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on the Bluegrass out there. Essential Quality probably has moved to the head of the class by default, with Life is Good going to the sidelines and Greatest Honor getting defeated last week, but highly motivated for Chad and Klarovich is in here off the 3rd place finish last time in the Gotham. Thoughts in the Bluegrass?
Man, it's hard to get past the top 2, isn't it? They look like, not only do they look like the best horses, Seth, but have you ever seen a race devoid of speed like that? And there's no, I mean, I think the 2 favorites will, in some way, they'll line up 3-4, 4-3, highly motivated, Essential Quality, and neither of them have ever been on the lead, and they're the clear speed. So it's those races are tough to handicap, because now you're not only handicapping the horses, you're handicapping intent. I'll tell you right now, if I were Brad Cox and Luis Saez, I'd put Essential Quality on the lead. Come and get me. You can't get any trouble on the front end. With that said, it's those 2. I'm a Rombauer guy. I not only got risk taking, I'm a Rum Bauer. He's a horse I really like since the American Pharoah. I have a backup. I have a saver with him in the Derby. I was sick to my stomach when they put him in the Bluegrass because he's got very little chance to win that race now because of the way that race is supposed to set up. He was supposed to go to the Wood Memorial. They backed off and said they were going to go to Stay Home in San Anita when Life Is Good was forced to the sidelines. Of all places, he winds up there where you and I could make the lead if we were in a horse suit. So I would imagine Highly Motivated or Central Quality are going to win that race.
Yeah, I'm right with you there. Anthony, as always, appreciate the visit. We wish you and everybody down at Aqueduct and at NYRA a successful Saturday Wood Memorial card. Really looking forward to it. The return after last year's hiatus. And again, you guys do a great job pregame show down there every day as well. Appreciate the visit. We'll talk again.
You got it, Seth. Talk to you guys soon. Good luck, everyone.
Anthony Stabile from the New York Racing Association. A big day coming up on Saturday. Wood Memorial and a nice undercard of stakes as well.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Happy to be joined now by trainer Brendan Walsh. Prevalence makes the third start of the career in Saturday afternoon's Wood Memorial. He has a couple of stakes performers at Keeneland. He had a big weekend last weekend. We'll touch on that as well. Brendan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. Happy to have you on board, particularly to talk a little Prevalence because I'll tell you, I was in here doing our afternoon handicapping show back on January 23rd for the career debut, and it was just an eye-popping debut that you knew immediately the buzz was going to be great. Three-year-old in Kentucky Derby Trail, subsequently came back in the second career start, and we're going to watch that one. We're going to watch the allowance optional claimer from March 11th. Prevalence will be the number six horse. Followed up with a nice win as well, so two for two going into Saturday's race. But before we get to the Wood and what your expectations are for Saturday, take us through the first two races of the career and how you felt coming out of the maiden breaker and then this allowance victory we're looking at.
Well, the maiden, Seth, you know, we thought the horse was a nice horse for sure. I mean, he put in a couple of really nice works at home, you know, but did I expect him to win like he did? Absolutely not. I don't think many people do, no matter how good you think a horse is. You know, you don't. Most of ours will improve for the first run anyway. But, you know, I did think he was nice, but to be honest, I didn't think he was going to win like that first time. So I was even, you know, in a nice way, I was pleasantly surprised about how he ran, for sure.
And then the follow-up, talk a little bit about that, what the decision-making process was for that race and your thoughts on the allowance victory.
I thought he ran well. You know, I got the impression that some people weren't as impressed by it as they were by his first run. But, you know, it definitely was a big plus for us to get to run the horse back again before we put him. You know, listen, at the end of the day, he did beat winners that day too and did it handily. And I think it's hard for a horse. You know, he came down that straight at Gulfstream the first day on his own, pretty much. So he didn't learn an awful lot. We kind of kept company a little longer the last day, you know, and I think that helped too. But, you know, again, when he got on his own, he you know, just what's natural for a horse, an inexperienced horse, I think, is just to get a little lackadaisical and lose his concentration a little bit. And that's maybe why he didn't look as impressive. But, I mean, the time was very good, and it was exactly what I wanted to get out of the race. So I was quite happy with it walking away.
So far, 7 furlongs in the debut, the 1 turn mile down at Gulfstream in the second career start. Obviously, the question marks on the Derby trail are distance and how they get the 2 turns and potentially go the 1.25 miles. What are your thoughts on Saturday at the 9 furlongs?
You know, Seth, he gives me no impression at all that he won't be able to get it. He's got a high cruising speed. Temperamentally, he's a very easy horse to ride. You can put him in front, you can put him behind, you can do what you want with him. So I think he's going to give himself every chance. You know, and I think at the end of the day, I think only he can answer that question. Tomorrow, I think, you know, we're all kind of waiting to see what he does. But from a conditioning point of view, I can't see any reason why the horse wouldn't go the 2 turns. But, you know, it remains to be seen till tomorrow, even for me.
Tyler Gaffleone scheduled to be back on board. He was on board for the first 2 starts of the career. Have you gotten any feedback from Tyler Gaffleone?
Well, you know, I think, you know, that answers its own question in the fact that he's willing to give up Bluegrass Saturday at Keeneland to go up and ride the horse. You know, Tyler was really impressed with the horse on both occasions, and you know, he's keen enough to go up to New York and ride him. So, like I said, I think that speaks for itself.
And I'm looking at the PPs here, and I think while we talk, we pulled up this morning Naira on their Twitter feed, put a little footage up of Prevalence out on the Belmont training track, just taking a little morning walk out there. But his last workout, Bullet Work, down at Palm Meadows last weekend, and it was a nice work, best of 30. Give us your impression of the workout last weekend coming into the Wood Memorial on Saturday.
I thought it was a really nice work set. You know, the horse doesn't need to do anything serious. He's fit, he was ready, he's ran, you know, he's coming back in you know, 23 days I believe tomorrow. So the main thing was to keep him ticking over. So when we sent him out there last Sunday, we wanted something a little better than what he did the week before, where he did kind of a maintenance half. But he actually, you know, we didn't set out to do the work that he did last Sunday, but he just worked that well and that easy. It's always a great sign of a horse, I think, when they go out and you don't ask them to do what he did, and he came back with that work as well within himself. So it was just what you really love to see from a horse going into a race.
And we talked before we went on the air, you're currently in Kentucky heading, we're taping on Friday, you're heading to New York later today. So I'm just wondering what the reports were as how he arrived in New York and how he made the trip up from Florida.
Everything has went really well. Seth, he flew up there on Wednesday, trained yesterday, trained today. So nothing but everything's gone. Thankfully, everything's gone really smoothly since he left the barn in Florida. So hopefully, you know, we have a good day today, and he'll arrive there tomorrow in pretty good shape, I think.
Very good. We wish you a lot of luck with Prevalence. Just an exciting runner. It's always fun. The Derby Trail is always fun because there are those certain dates on the calendar you have to match. And I kind of match it up to other sports where I think in the Derby there's a preseason and a regular season and playoffs, and then you get to the potentially the Triple Crown races themselves. And a nice prospect with Prevalence. We wish you a lot of luck there. You also have some stakes runners on Saturday at Keeneland. Let's get some thoughts on those. The Appalachian on Saturday at Keeneland, a mile on the grass for the three-year-old fillies, and you have Flown. We're going to take a look at her maiden breaker from last October. It was at Keeneland, so she has experience over the course. Flown's going to be the number 4 horse here. hasn't been seen since this race, which wrapped up her two-year-old season. How did she progress from two to three, and what do you think of Flown on Saturday in the Appalachian?
She's done really well, Seth. You know, she's still an A other than, and, you know, we have that condition. But her work's been very good in Palmetto's on the turf since she came back to us. And, you know, this race came up light on numbers, so it seemed a good opportunity to take a shot coming back and put her, you know, she's working like a filly that belongs in stakes company. So, you know, again, we'll see tomorrow how it all goes. But, you know, the signs since she came back have been very good, and I expect her to run a very good race, even though it is a tough, you know, even though it's not a huge numbers race, but there is some very high-class fillies in there.
Yeah, you have Plum Ali in there, certainly an interesting field. As you say, six, but it's a nice field. A little bit later on, the Ashland for the three-year-old fillies, you have Moonswag. Interesting horse. Started the career at Albuquerque Downs, a track I have visited, very scenic with the Sandia Mountains in the background, but subsequently moved into your barn, and we're going to watch last out. Moonswag is going to be the number three horse here, finishing behind Clairiere and Travel Column in the Rachel Alexandra. Those two rematched in the Fairground Oaks and ran 1-2. They're probably at the top of the three-year-old filly division, Travel Column and Clairiere. So running third, a nice performance for Moonswag. Now she follows it up with the Ashland on Saturday. Talk a little bit about your expectations for Moonswag.
Yeah, she's done nothing but well and improved the whole time she's been with us. Said she hasn't been the easiest in the world to train. She can be tricky temperamentally, but that has actually gone the right way as well. So you know, it's all starting to click from her. She did nothing wrong at the fairgrounds in her runs down there. I thought she's ran very credible each time, and I think she's going to keep improving, and I'm hoping that she can be there to get a piece of it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's an interesting field as well, salty field. But as they say, she ran third to the two top leaders of the division last time, so that flattered her a little bit. All right, let's move on. Brendan, as I said at the top, I want to go back to last weekend. And it's always fun watching Dubai to have American runners to root for in the various races. And you had Extravagant Kid over there in the Elkwaz Sprint, 6 furlongs on the turf. This is an 8-year-old who had some stakes victories, but never a graded stakes victory. So you ship over and get a Group 1 for $1 million with Extravagant Kid. We're going to watch the stretch run here. Had come out of a second-place finish previously in the Colonel Power down at the fairgrounds. Talk a little bit about the kind of the bold decision-making process to go over and try this company in Dubai.
Well, listen, he's been a model of consistency, Seth, since we've had him. He's never been far away. Yes, he has never won a graded stake before Saturday, but he was second in a grade one. He's been second in multiple grade twos, grade threes. You know, the talent was there with him. I just felt at this point in his career, it might be, you know, just an interesting thing to just change things up with him, because some of these horses, when they get a little older, they start to get a little tricky mentally. And I thought, you know, we'll put him on the plane, take him over there. You know, I did a lot of it back in the day when I was in Godolphin, and it worked with a lot of horses. It was just a different thing for them. And, you know, he went over there, and he never missed a beat. The travel went well. He did great over there. And, you know, the talent was there for the horse to run a race. I think the change as well in track, you know, going left-handed all the time to going on a straight track, I think that even helped. And you know, thankfully it worked out. I mean, I realistically thought that the horse could at least finish in the first three, and you know, he went one better and he managed to win it. So it was fantastic for everybody involved.
Yeah, as they say, it's fun as a fan too to root for the American horses. So that was a lot of fun. I don't believe you went over. Where did you watch the race?
I was on a plane, actually, Seth, when I was on my way to Louisiana when the race was on, and I thought, you know, that there was going to be Wi-Fi on the plane. Of course, when I got on it, I was toggling looking for the Wi-Fi, and I couldn't get it to work. But I turned on the TV, on the little TV on the back of the seat in front of me, and here is Fox Sports, and it's broadcasting it live. So I think the people on the plane with me probably thought I was a little crazy. I was having some kind of a seizure in the seat. But, you know, of course, I couldn't get the Wi-Fi to work afterwards. So I had to sit there for another hour and a half before I could actually talk to anybody. So it was an interesting experience, to say the least.
That is great. So, I would like to be the guy sitting next to you as you're winning $1 million. That's bad. And I have to ask,
he was reaching over to.
I have to ask if you were leaning,
he was reaching over to hold me down at one time.
I have to ask if you were leaning a little bit though, because as we watched the replay, the stretch run a minute ago, as you say, it was a straightaway race, and a lot of those tend to do what they did. Some of the horses go to the outside, some to the inside. And so it was really, it's hard to judge the margin until they got right to the wire. So were you doing the lean as they got close?
Yeah, no, exactly. I thought, you know, I would say a furlong down, I thought, oh, I'm going to get a piece of this. And the closer they got to the wire, I thought, you know, he's got a good shot to win this. And, I mean, when he actually hit the wire, he won by at least half a length, maybe three quarters of a length. Like you say, it wasn't, you know, till you were 50 yards from the wire that you realized he was in front of the horse on the other side of the track. But, it was funny, because when he came out of the gate, I talked to Ryan before it, and we thought he was perfectly drawn and we were just going to go straight down the track. Of course, when the horse came out of the gate, his natural tendency from racing here all the time was to go left. So he ended up on the left side of the track, and then he gradually worked his way back to where we were initially drawn. But yeah, it was something to remember in future, was the fact that he went left naturally, rather than, you know, straight down, which we had planned to do. He had other ideas.
That's funny. That is a great story, though, watching it on the plane. And I'm wondering, when you actually landed and you did get Wi-Fi, did your phone blow up?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it was nuts between, the phone and messages and Twitter and Facebook and all this other kind of stuff. It was great. It was great. I'm not going to complain about it. Hopefully it'll happen many more times.
Oh, that's a great story. All right, I wanted to touch on one more from last weekend, the Rushaway on the undercard at Turfway last week. Nice little three-year-old, Cave Hill. We're going to watch the stretch run here. Cave Hill is going to be the number six horse. Came up from the turf at Gulfstream, and we've talked on the handicapping shows over the past few years. It seems like turf performers at Gulfstream this time of year head to Turfway and do pretty well on their synthetic. Did that knowledge play into your decision at all? And talk a little bit about, we're watching the stretch run here. Boy, just a nice looking horse coming down the stretch there. Talk a little bit about Cave Hill winning the Rushaway.
Yeah, I think, you know, to be honest, Seth, he was getting a little outfooted at Gulfstream the couple of times we ran him. He ran a really good race two runs back. He was third in the stake. And then the last day, he got a little too far back early on and came running. I think he ran a sneaky good race. I wasn't too put out, because I don't know that Gulfstream was the most suitable track for him. So I thought, you know, we'll get up there, we'll try the Poly. Of course, you never know with the Poly until you try whether they're going to like it or not. But he seemed, you know, he has that relentless gallop, and he seemed, if things worked out for him, that he could possibly, run really well. And thankfully it worked out, and it was great to get a stakes win for Godolphin, of course, and nice to get a stakes win for Frosted as well, who's a very good first season stallion.
Any plans for Cave Hill?
Not straight off the bat, Seth. We'll give him a little chance and see how he comes out of that race, and probably, you know, we'll try and find some similar type of races through the year. I think he looks like he'll stay and go a good route of ground. So anything that'll suit him like that along the way we'll be looking for.
I should ask also plans forward for Extravagant Kid, although with a Dubai trip, part of it is just coming back and getting back in gear after the trip. But are there any plans for Extravagant Kid right now?
Not really, no. I mean, I'm probably going to give them a little time.
Yeah.
You know, most of the horses, when they come back from Dubai, I feel it's good to give them a little downtime. So we'll bring them back to Keeneland and give them an easy time for a while. And you know, I'm sure we'll see them back out, you know, sometime June, July, somewhere thereabouts.
And obviously, before I let you go, I have to ask, what's up with Maxfield? I looked this morning. Worked last weekend down at Palm Meadows. Is he still down in Florida? And do you have any plans coming up for Maxfield?
He's actually looking in the office door at me as we speak, Seth. He's here at Keeneland. He flew up during the week, and we'll probably work him again this weekend and work him another time or two and come up with a plan for him. But he came out of his race in California in great shape, and he's doing great. He's starting to really do well now again. So, you know, we'll work him another time or two, like I said, and come up with a plan from there. But, you know, all the nice two-turn races through the summer and into the fall would be, hopefully, will be a big part of them.
Yeah, well, we're up in the Saratoga area, so don't forget the Whitney and now the Jockey Club Gold Cup up at Saratoga, so maybe we'll look for them up there. But we certainly wish you a lot of luck on Saturday afternoon with Prevalence and your other stake runners and going forward with some of the ones we talked about as well. Always appreciate you taking the time. I know it's very busy, but Brendan, appreciate it, and we'll talk again.
Thank you, Sid.
Brendan Walsh, again, Prevalence in this afternoon's Wood Memorial. And again, thanks to Brendan Walsh for taking the time to join us. Prevalence, one of the interesting stories this afternoon with the two wins and certainly the maiden breaker that had a lot of people automatically talking Derby. He's going to be very interesting in the Wood Memorial. Brendan also with those two runners we talked about on the undercard stakes at Keeneland. And we're looking forward to the return of Maxfield. And last week, the win over in Dubai. I'd just like to be sitting on the plane. The guy, you know, two seats over is looking at the TV on the screen, going nuts. And you look, hey, what's going on? Yeah, he just won a $1 million horse race. Your seatmate on a plane. So fun story there from Brendan Walsh. Appreciate, again, his taking the time to join us yesterday to record that. Also appreciate hearing from Anthony Stabile, top of the show, who went over the Wood Memorial Day stakes at Aqueduct. So we took a little look at Aqueduct in Keeneland, not only on this show, but Handicapper's Report earlier. But again, big card also out at Santa Anita, including the Santa Anita Oaks and the Santa Anita Derby. The Oaks, a beautiful gift, interesting. Johnny Velasquez heads out to jump back on board the Bob Baffert runner. He'd won the Santa Isabel with Beautiful Gift back on March 7th. And again, Velasquez back out. Field of Five, and it looks like Beautiful Gift is the interesting runner. Running just behind that one in the Santa Isabel was Mraz. So that one for Mike McCarthy, a player also, but on the three-year-old filly side of things. Short field, but a couple of certainly potential performers that will come out of this headed to the Kentucky Oaks. And about, 4:35, 6:30 our time, 3:30 local time out at Santa Anita will be the Santa Anita Derby. That's race number 8. The interesting horse in here is probably Medina Spirit, having run second last time to Life is Good. Life is Good, of course, now on the sidelines. But Medina Spirit may add another Derby runner to the holster for Bob Baffert coming out of this one. Field of 9 scheduled in there. We'll see how that one plays out this afternoon at Santa Anita. And don't forget, there are some later stakes as well on the Santa Anita card, but we feature nighttime thoroughbred racing tonight, so you'll get that whole Santa Anita card as well, including those later stakes that normally would be beyond the cutoff time, but they'll be in the mix on this Saturday night as we are featuring thoroughbred racing tonight. All right, a jam-packed 2 hours, Handicapper Support and Racing Across America looking at, again, a really nice day of racing today, with the big card down at Aqueduct, the big card on the first Saturday of the spring meet at Keeneland, action out at Santa Anita. And, of course, there will be much, much more on the network this afternoon as well. I'm going to be back in about 2 hours or so with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. We'll be taking a look at some of that stakes action as the afternoon progresses. One last reminder on the two promos that are in the hopper for this afternoon. There's a $100 online knockout challenge. You can check the website for more information there, capitalotb.com. And we would love to have you stop down and enjoy action at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon. And a double promotion, NYRA Pick 4 promotion, and a match bet. That all happens on this Saturday afternoon at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm Seth Merrow. This has been Racing Across America. We really appreciate your tuning in, as always. And again, be back in about a couple hours, about 1 o'clock or so probably, for OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. So again, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in a little.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.